We're learning about beefalo here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. So this is the interbreeding of American bison with domesticated cattle, and we'll dig into this, but the gene mix is very specific. Beefalo are bred to include more cattle traits than bison. Join in on taste, on the cuts, the herds, comparisons to beef, 800-642-1234. Leo Muir is president of the American Beefalo Association, owns Rock and Camel Beefalo Ranch in Conroe, Texas. Leo, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. And Keith Croft is here as well, Michigan farmer with more than 45 years of experience raising beefalo. And he and his wife run the Croft Beefalo Farm north of Grand Rapids. Keith, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Good morning. Well, Keith, let's start out with a description. Can you describe what beefalo look like?
Well, most beefalo are going to look similar to regular cattle. I mean, and a good experienced person can maybe pick out a few of the bison traits. But we're trying to make an animal that's better in meat quality than what we have in regular beef and with the bison there. And they're going to look a lot like the beefalo.
Well, beefalo also, they don't have that hump on their shoulders. Is that right? You know, for, like the way bison do.
That is correct. Some of them will show a little bit of the bison phenotype, the bison traits, but most of them are going to look just pretty close to regular cattle.
Are beefalo aggressive? What is their temperament like?
Well, the temperament for what I've had, and you gotta just like with any breed, eliminate a few of them that have a bad temperament. But I've taken my grandsons when they were little, set them on the back of a bull that was over 2,000 pounds, and walk around talking with them just sitting there. We go in around them, and most of the time they'll come right up. I have a little trailer. We take kids out there to see them, and most of the time they come right up to the trailer and let them pet them.
Oh, wow. Leo, let's talk about the breeding. Very specific here, 37.5% bison genes. Explain the mix here of cattle with bison.
So to get to that 37.5, it's a three-generation cross. You can get to it multiple different ways, but the basics is that you cross a bison with a domestic animal, which gives you a 50-50. And then at that stage, the females are pretty much always fertile, but the males are not. And so you cross your females back to a bison, and that gives you a 75% bison, 25% domestic. You take that animal and you breed it back to a domestic bull, and that gives you your 37.5. And the goal there was to get as much bison in me mixed with the domestic animal, up to a point where we had bulls that were fertile. And we found that the 37.5 was where we had more bulls that were fertile. And so that's kind of what the original people that bred beefalo went with and made that the full blood.
Why is it? Sense. Yeah. Why is that most males are not fertile?
It's just the... I don't fully understand that, I'll be honest. But that's where we found that we had bulls, or you know, where we were able to come up with a breeding bull. Mm-hmm. You know, so therefore we could intermix and be able to stabilize the breed.
I see. Leo Muir there, Leo, president of the American Beefalo Association, based down in Texas. And Keith Croft here, farmer in Michigan with more than four decades of experience raising and breeding beefalo. Taking your questions about this bison cattle hybrid, 800-642-1234, email ideas@wpr.org. So Keith, you know, what is the purpose of Beefalo? Why do you want to do this crossbreed?
Well, you have a hardier animal. The animal will have, and I've never been able to count it, but like they say, five times as much hair per square inch as what your domestic cattle. They'll stand out in the cold and snow and everything, and they stay nice and toasty warm, where regular cattle, a lot of them would be humped up shivering. Also, the meat qualities is one of the main reasons that we cross, is to get a better quality meat.
What can you tell us more about that meat and why it is a higher quality?
Well, I don't know exactly what it does scientifically, but somehow the good Lord's put it in the cross that it just makes a better meat. Your protein is just a little bit higher than regular beef. Calories are lower. And let's see, the cholesterol on beefalo is down with your skinless chicken, fish, and turkey. So different doctors and stuff have said that go ahead and they could eat beefalo where they preferred them not to eat regular beef. Dr. Thad Jackson up in northern part of the state there, he got in it. He had his heart doctors and everything look at all the information, and they all come through with flying colors for the beefalo.
Well, I wonder, Leo, what does beefalo taste like? How would you describe it?
It's hard to be truthful, if you put a beefalo steak next to a regular beef steak, you're not going to tell that much difference.
Okay.
What you do notice is in how it's cooked. Beefalo does have less marbling than a regular, you know, say an Angus steak. And so you don't have the marbling, and so therefore you don't cook it. You're not going to cook it as long as you would a typical beef steak.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're not going to have the fat when you brown your hamburger for, you know, say spaghetti or anything of that nature. There's not going to be anything to pour off. The hamburgers don't shrink in size. They maintain, you know, whatever size patty you make, they're going to maintain that. It's just an overall healthier, better meat.
Well, I really want to ask both of you a little bit about your own backstories with beefalo. You know, Keith, you first. What got you into raising beefalo?
Well, my father-in-law had a lot of cholesterol and heart problems. And plus, some people say I'm a half bubble off center, and I want to have something a little bit different from what the average farmer's got. And it ended up with my father-in-law. He ended up over at Mayo Clinic. The clinic itself is not endorsing without many, many, many tests. But the doctors there told my father-in-law that he could eat that along with the venison and moose, elk, that kind of stuff. And so that was one of the reasons that we got into beefalo, is because of him and his health problems.
And that was in the 70s.
Yes.
So you've had quite some time with beefalo, and to kind of, I would imagine you've learned a few tips and tricks along the way.
Yeah. I found that the best way to take, we pasture on both sides of a road here, and a lot of times I used to take and try to push them across, and we had a heck of a time getting them crossed. When I ended up with just coaxing them, and now they're trained, and I can have 30-some cows with their calves across the road in a matter of 2 minutes. I also read an article many, many years ago in Mother Earth News magazine, and that really impressed me. About the beefalo, and I never believed I'd meet the people that put the article in, but I have since then sat in their kitchen drinking coffee with them, and that was a real, real blessing.
Well, Leo, how about you? How did you get into beefalo farming?
my dad back in the 70s, late 70s, actually went out to Bud Basolo's ranch and saw his operation. Bud Basolo was one of the entrepreneurs that kind of made Beefalo, or kind of got Beefalo off the ground and got it going. But anyway, my dad went out there and he was impressed with what he saw, and he saw the nutritional value of Beefalo as being something that he felt the American people would like. And so we started raising Beefalo. And then Beefalo kind of died off in the 80s for whatever reason. I don't fully understand. I wasn't that old then. but after that, I joined the military and about halfway through my military career, my dad asked, "Hey, what do you want to, you're raising quite a few cattle. Which way do you want to go?" And I said, "Well, I want to go back to the Beefalo. I really liked what I saw when you were raising it." And so that's when I got back into Beefalo. So I got back in around 2004 and have tried to stay active in Beefalo since then. But the main focus is the nutritional value along with the sustainability. As Keith mentioned, Beefalo do really well up in the cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same regards, down here in Texas, where we're currently going through a drought, Beefalo are able to breed. They have more hair per square inch, but they also they're able to sweat, whereas other cattle don't. And so I find that my Beefalo are out there grazing when your typical domestic cow is up under the shade and waiting till it's afternoon, or waiting and grazing at night.
I see.
You know, they do go out and get it. They go out and eat and sustain. And so the Beefalo is able to handle both the heat and the cold weather.
Leo Muir, a Beefalo rancher in Texas, leads the trade group for this crossbreed of cattle and bison. Keith Croft is here, Beefalo farmer in Michigan. Join in on your questions about Beefalo, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up in a moment. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We're exploring Beefalo on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The publication for Food Industry News, the Food Institute, they popped the question last week in their headline, "Is Beefalo the next big thing in meat?" So we're probing that very question with longtime Beefalo farmers who are fielding your questions about the hybrid of bison and bovine. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Michigan Beefalo farmer Keith Croft and Texas rancher Leo Muir, head of the Trade Association, and they stay with us. So, Keith, we heard from Michael in Madison, called and couldn't stay with us. And Michael is wondering, what are the resource costs to house, to breed, to maintain Beefalo compared to traditional beef cows or domesticated cattle? Can you answer that?
Yes, I can. Beefalo will stay in anything that regular cattle will be in. You got to have feed, water, and have them content, just like with every breed of cattle. Beefalo also browse a little bit along with their grazing. They're more of a non-selective grazer. And my fences aren't the greatest, and as long as they're happy, they stay where they belong.
Leo, anything coming up for you there on comparing costs of raising Beefalo versus traditional domesticated cattle?
I don't see any difference in the cost between raising domestic or raising Beefalo. If anything, I think it's a little bit cheaper. Beefalo will go out there and graze where most domestic cattle won't. And so, you know, they'll eat. I've seen one of my beefalo heifers were eating pine needles, even though there was plenty of grass out there. So, you know, beefalo will eat some weird roughage where, like I said, other domestics won't.
That was just their appetizer, apparently, or something.
Yeah, exactly.
A little hors d'oeuvre there. You know, Leo, since you're the head of the trade association, if beefalo, if it's been around since the 70s, why is it still a niche meat? Why isn't it in the meat section of the grocery stores? What's holding beefalo back?
It's a disagreement between people. So, I mean, beefalo has been a challenge ever since it was started. So, I mean, people back in the 1800s, Charles Goodnight, and other breeders back in the 1800s saw the possibility of being able to cross domestic cattle with bison and saw it as a better way or saw that the animal would be able to handle different temperatures and be able to do be more of an aggressive animal. The thing is just like a lot of things, the difference of opinions between breeders has, rather than getting breeders to work together, it has, they've worked against each other more so.
Hmm.
And so that as the president, one of my focuses is to get the breeders together, to get them to agree, to disagree, and to get them to focus on what's really important, and that is getting our meat out there to the public where it belongs.
Well, let's take a call now. Nate is joining us from Cascade, Iowa. Nate, hi. What's on your mind about beefalo?
Yeah, I had a couple different questions. I guess the first question is, what is the calving ease compared to regular domestic cattle?
Okay, so calving versus regular domestic cattle. Keith, can you field that?
Yes, I can. I find that beefalo are much better than regular cattle on calving. You're going to have a smaller calf. Bison have small calves. And when we were weighing all of our calves, we run 65 to 75, once in a while an 80-pound calf. But most of the time, it was like a 65 to a 70-pound calf is what we get, which is easy for a young cow to have without having difficulties.
When do they start breeding?
When do they stop breeding?
Oh, start. How old?
Oh, you've got beefalo that go up. I've had one that was like 22 years old.
Oh, okay.
We got like 18 calves out of her. And, you know, they got a longer lifespan than regular cattle due to the bison, because bison have been known to live 40 years old, and you don't find cattle that will do that.
Nate, does that answer your question?
Yeah. I guess another question is, and compare, I'm assuming you're doing all grass-fed operation, or do you do grain as well?
I use all grass-fed, basically. I used to have silage, and I just don't have the land base for the silage anymore. But just they're grass-fed. I do have a chance of getting the vegetables at a local area farmer, and I feed them some vegetables like your parsnips and carrots and a few of that sort of thing. But basically, mine are grass-fed.
Leo, how about you, grass versus grain?
As far as my beef animals or my feeder steers, they're strictly grass-fed. I do my replacement heifers. I'll supplement them a little bit, you know, 3 to 4 pounds a day a growing mix or grower type mix of feed, but for the most part, I want my heifers to really grow off the grass and be able to maintain and not require feed on a regular basis.
Well, Leo and Keith, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Leo.
Yes, I really appreciate the interest in reaching out to us.
Sure. Leo Meir, president of the American Beefalo Association, raising them in Conroe, Texas. And Keith Croft there, a beefalo farmer in Newaygo, Michigan. Ahead this hour, we talk about the Wisconsin rollout of COVID vaccine for children under 5 years old with a pediatrician from Children's Wisconsin. Join in with your questions on COVID shots for the youngest age group, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. News update and a story from Wisconsin Life are next here on the Ideas Network.